Life is certainly full of contrasts. I left England in the first week in February, raining, and wind like most people have never seen. What a terrible, terrible winter we had. And I thought we were going to float away. I got on an aeroplane with my friend Alexander McCall-Smith and a few other chums, and we went off to the Caribbean together. And we had 2 weeks sailing in the sunshine and the strong trade wind. A different world altogether. Then I came home to an England where the weather was improving. And now we've got a nice spring evening. It's neap tides. We've got a half moon. The sky's clear. I think there'll be a light frost tonight. I've just put the radiator on in my old car's garage just to make sure she doesn't get too cold. But essentially, it's absolutely lovely weather again. So we've had the contrast. We've had the start of the misery. Then we've had the glories of the Caribbean, and now we've got decent springtime in England. But tomorrow I'm going into hospital to have a new hip, so I don't know what to make of that really. I'm very relaxed about it, because to be honest, the idea of 3 or 4 or 5 days lying on my back is being looked after by nurses in a private room is it's rather attractive. I don't expect the operation will be very funny, and I expect there'll be some pain afterwards, but the hip's been hurting a lot anyway. It hurt a lot in the Caribbean, that's for sure. When you've got a hip up for replacement, you know all about it, actually. It's funny, mine has been fine when I've just walked short distances. I can walk down the garden path or down to the village hall, and nobody would think there was much wrong with me, except I'm going a bit slowly. But if I have to walk half a mile, I'm a basket case at the end of it, and getting on board a boat out of a dinghy is not funny at all. My goodness me, that hurts a lot. So it's got to be sorted, and now it's going to be so. Thinking about the Caribbean, it is a place of contrasts. I spent 2 winters in the Caribbean many years ago, 25, 30, 35 years ago, and in those days, The locals weren't so well organised as they are today. There were a few little lads had come round when you went ashore with your dinghy and said, "Mind, can we mind your boat, mister? It'll be, you know, we'll look after your boat for you." And that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you don't want to be unfriendly. But your boat's perfectly all right if you tie it to a palm tree, so why are they minding it? It reminds me of when I was a student in Liverpool, and the lads used to come up whenever you parked in town in the evening. A bunch of little urchins would come up and say, "Mind your car, mister." And you'd say, "Well, yeah, all right," and you'd give them sixpence or something, and your security was then assured. But one time I said to the lad, I said, "Well, listen," I said, "a car should be all right here. It's locked up. What's going to happen to it if you don't mind it?" He says, "I'm going to scratch it." So I gave him the money, didn't I? What else are you going to do? It's a sort of tax that you pay, really. And these days in the Caribbean, the guys in the bum boats are tremendous. I was really impressed by them. They've all got names as Mr. Quality and Romeo and various other bods, and they all come out. And they've all got a tale to tell, or at least most of them have. Some of them are just chancers, hoping for the best. But I love to see a boat coming out with a load of produce to sell. Chap came out with some jewellery that he'd made himself out of bits of coral and things. And it was lovely. And he was a really nice guy, a very polite fellow. He came and he had a lovely little boat, a cracking little sailing boat, really heavily built. Well, I say a sailing boat, it wasn't really, it was a rowing boat. He rowed out, and he went home downwind, and he spread this sort of tablecloth, really, on one of his oars, and away he went, steering out the oar at the other end. Cracking chap. I love these fellas, and they in a sense, were a contrast to the disorganised, sort of slightly uneasy feel about the way things were. I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. What I didn't like were the fact that there were moorings everywhere, and it was more and more difficult to find somewhere to anchor. That's very true in the British Virgin Islands, but in the Windwards, where we were this time, it's not so bad. You can always, there's really is nearly always room to anchor, and you don't have to spend your money, which is good for the real cruising boats, who are short on money, and who have come all the way from Europe, or maybe halfway around the world from Australia, and they're on the way home. They don't have any money to spend $30-$40 a night on a mooring. So if you're on a charter boat and you've got money to burn, you can take up the lad's offer and pick up one of their moorings. But I don't know why you'd bother, really, because to be honest, I'd rather anchor, especially on a clean sand bottom where you know where you are. Why would your anchor let go there? It wouldn't, would it? So long as you give it plenty of scope. Well, so that's that. The one thing that hasn't changed is the trade wind. It just blows and blows and blows. After a while, I find it gets quite tiring, actually, because being born in a temperate climate where the wind comes and goes, you get your periods of calm. It's flat calm outside my window now. It's absolutely lovely. The birds are just winding down for the day. Everything's gone still. But it's not like that in the West Indies. Over there, the wind's still blowing, blowing. The palm trees are waving in it. And it keeps you cool in a place that would otherwise be too hot. So you can't knock it, but it does get tiring. And some of the places, it kicks the sea up as well. The north end of St Vincent is one of the roughest places I know. We got a kicking there this time, and I had a worse kicking there years ago. I had three goes at it, and we got hammered so badly. We didn't have an engine in those days on the little boat we were on, and we just got crucified, really. And in the end, we gave up, bore away, and went to America instead. You could do that then. We didn't have a timetable. We could just do what we liked. That was what it was like to be free. But the wind never stopped, and it won't stop today either. So if you go to the West Indies in the winter time, take a string to hold your hat on, because otherwise it's going to get blown off. Well, look, I'm off now, because I've got to pack my stuff and my dressing gown and my slippers, which I don't have. I'm going to take my Crocs and be all set for getting my legs chopped up tomorrow. So wish me luck, and I'll report on how things are when I've come out of the general anaesthetic. So long.